When did Turnaround get contacted, and who contacted all of you?
Well, we were contacted on this past Monday by a captain at the police department. We do partner with the Baltimore Police Department in responding to victims of sexual assault. And I believe what happened on Monday was when the news story broke that that was precipitated by the doctor's suicide. And that's when the police department reached out to us for help with their responding to the victims.
And is that a call that you usually get, Gail?
Well, I think this is an unusual situation. So we work pretty closely with them around responding to a lot of different cases. But I think just this, in part, they wanted some suggestions from us about crafting their tip line and working with our helpline and putting that information out there for the public.
So if I am a possible victim of Dr. Levy's, and I know that we've been reporting on the different hotlines that are set up, if I call Johns Hopkins because I might not know about the hotlines or the police department, will I end up at Turnaround?
I believe so. Okay. I think there's information about how to get in touch with Turnaround at both of those lines.
So tell us what it has been like since Monday, since this story broke, and how many phone calls have you all been receiving?
Well, I've just been working on looking at all of this morning. We've had certainly all hands on deck, I would say, from everyone from our staff therapists, our intake staff. We have a number of volunteer victim advocates that work with us and our helpline workers. So we've handled probably on our helpline it looks like about 30 calls at this point, and in our office an additional about, we're having quite a lot of calls this morning actually, but I think we've handled about 60 calls just in the last 2 days here in our office as well. A number of people who've called have, you know, gotten some help over the phone. I think people just needing to kind of process what their reactions are, and people can talk with them about how they might get support. Other people have asked to see a therapist, and we will be offering some groups also specifically to those people who are patients of the doctor in this case. And a number of people have been interested in that.
Gail, what are the victims telling you? What have you been hearing from them?
Well, I think we're hearing a lot of different things, and I think that's an important thing for people to recognize, that everyone's going to have different reactions to this situation. And certainly we've heard a number of people who really liked and trusted and had a long-term relationship with their doctor, and so I think for these people there's a good deal of shock and disbelief that this could have happened. I think something that we unfortunately often see with people who are victimized is people will blame themselves. A number of people have said, I should have recognized the signs or something, and I would hope that those people can appreciate that the just massive numbers of victims, that's many, many, many people have been victimized in this situation. And some people are angry. Some people don't believe that the story could possibly be true, and maybe feel angry at us or angry at the police or angry at Hopkins for this story. But I think for the most part, people feel they feel betrayed by someone that they trusted, and someone that many of these people had a very long-term relationship with their healthcare provider.
Yeah, we were hearing different stories from some of the patients who have come forward to say, one woman that we heard today had spent 11 years with him and said that she just can't believe this is the same person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're echoing that.
Yeah, and, you know, people are, you know, a lot of people feel compelled to defend their doctor, and I understand that, but I also think that from what I've heard, the evidence is pretty overwhelming, and I don't think there's any question that there's been victimization and exploitation in this situation.
Can the patients who have been victims of Dr. Levy's acts, from what police tell us, can they recover from something like this? And is it a forever recovery, or how does that work?
Well, I think it's a situation where everyone is going to have their own reaction to this, and you know, it's much like working with victims of all kinds of sexual assault, that some people are going to have some strong initial reactions, but they're going to find some ways to cope and move on, and other people may find that they're having much more serious symptoms. We've had some people tell us that they're having difficulty sleeping, they're having nightmares. And we have had a number of callers who've identified, you know, that sadly they've been victimized by someone in the past, and often someone that they trusted. And perhaps as a child they were abused or molested by again, someone in a position of trust. And so for those individuals, there are a few more layers of emotional issues that come up for them, and you know, many people are feeling quite overwhelmed by that, and understandably, I think reaching out for some help.
Can we protect ourselves from something like this? I'm sure many of them, as you mentioned earlier, were saying, I should have known, I should have seen the signs. But how do we and can we protect ourselves?
Well, I think that's a good question, and I think certainly something that you know, many of our staff and our advocates that are responding, most women go to, you know, see a healthcare provider, and you know, that's a vulnerable situation to be in. And I don't know how people, I have not spoken to anyone yet who had strong indications that there was something amiss, that most of the people that I have heard from have been quite shocked. I think in retrospect, maybe some people have identified a few things that didn't seem right or comfortable for them, but it's a real shame that people are victimized in that kind of situation.
Gail Reed with Turnaround, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.